It would help if you turn the button on.
I don't know if it would.
You really are done for the day, aren't you?
I don't know. I want to, first of all, Steve, thank you. It's us, it's Bill and Wendy, and this is the show. I have to warn you that Kevin is in a kind of a sad mood today.
Uh-oh, what's going on?
I guess apparently something on television last night upset him. We talked about it a little bit, he and I did. Kevin, you'll be okay to do the show, I hope.
I'll get by.
But you're in a little sad mood.
You could say that, yeah.
And what happened last night that made you so sad?
Rachel picked Brian.
Was this The Bachelorette?
The Bachelorette.
Yes, Wendy.
Yeah.
The cultural phenomenon.
Ba-be-de-be-de.
Cultural phenomena.
Ba-be-de-be.
Now, this was a final episode, a season finale.
Spoiler alert, what if people didn't watch it yet?
Oh, yeah, Kev,
just
don't
kidding.
Say who won.
She didn't do that.
Don't say who
nobody
won, please.
Was.
If you save them an hour of their lives.
Not an hour. Not an hour. Like, you would think a show like this, you could probably stretch into an hour as a woman makes a decision as to which guy will be her husband, wink, wink. Because these things rarely last a lifetime. They always
stupid.
Break up in a couple of weeks. So you could think, oh, they could probably make that last an hour if they really stretched it out, right? And then you go, oh, no, I know how network TV works. They'll stretch it into 90 minutes. They're not going to mess with an hour.
It's the finale.
Yeah, it's the last of the season. Kevin, how long was last night's episode?
3 hours.
3 hours.
Oh, my God.
And you watched it?
Well, Kevin. Yes. But we DVR'd it, first of all.
Oh, you.
We fast-forwarded through probably the hour and a half of commercials. And yeah, it was Sarah's idea.
And then do they show clips of other, like the other Bachelor guys who got kicked
yeah,
off
so,
the show?
You know, there's like the one Bachelor that got voted off right away in the episode, and then they bring him in to discuss it with her, and then they show the other ones that got voted off, and then they bring them in to discuss and so on. Yeah, it's silly.
What do they win?
Well, you get a trip. The guy that won, they're going on a trip to Spain for free. They get to travel all over the world. They get a giant diamond ring to give to her for free. And then they're like C to D plus celebrities for a month afterwards.
Do they get any other like cash prizes or just the traveling?
I don't think
so.
In fact, Sarah informed me this morning they get paid whatever job they left and they were getting paid. They get that rate of pay while they're on the show.
And the travel's nice, and all the travel, of course, provided by Bertrand Travel. Go to BertrandTravel.com.
You got to hook up with them.
And eternal happiness. Don't forget, right, you're finding your soulmate.
There is eternal happiness. But look at, like, this show's been going on.
How many seasons and how many couples have lasted?
Oh, man, I'm relatively new, so I don't know.
It's not a good success rate.
Well, of course not.
If you look at both The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, the success rate is extremely low. And I would like even if it was a show that I loved, and there's no way in the world I could sit through this. But even if I did love it, I would say, but it's a ruse because they don't end up forever. That's not the way you meet the right person for you, is through a competition like this.
15 years of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Does it say how many are still together?
I think I got to do the stupid gallery thing.
Oh.
The weirdest part, so a couple episodes ago, they did one where it's the men tell all, and they brought in like all the guys that got voted off this season.
Right.
And they showed highlights from previous years. And one of them was a couple that was getting married through the show had their first ultrasound live on TV.
Oh, that's
the way
it should be.
The sex of their baby. That was so bizarre to me. That's the weirdest thing.
But don't they infer, Kevin, now forgive me because I can't watch it.
I've never watched a minute.
I don't want to see it. But don't they infer with both The Bachelor and The Bachelorette that part of the process by which they pick who the right person is that they sleep with several of the contestants?
Yeah, there's what do they call it? It's the something sweet. Where
they
the last
want
night.
Them to hook up?
No.
Like
that?
They don't.
That right?
They don't say
really?
It, but yeah. This is the first night they get to stay in the same room together. And
well,
it's
separate
kind
of, beds, of course.
No, it's one bed.
I was kidding.
No.
Bunk beds. They give you bunk
so. So they have episodes where they're like, you know, Ken and Barbie go into the suite together?
Yeah. And then they shut the doors and you don't know what happens.
What a crazy voyeuristic society we live in.
And then they show them the next morning as they're like, you know, the guy's shirtless making breakfast for it. It's really bizarre. The whole thing's bizarre.
So let's say one of your kids was chosen to be a contestant on this show. You can't feel good about that, can
you? I'd let them do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They would not get chosen, first of all. They'd rather be on Big Brother. And there's sex involved in that, too. There are a lot of showmances.
Are there?
There are cameras all the time. Yeah. And there are couples, like, they pull the covers over themselves, like, duh.
Even Dancing with the Stars has an element.
What?
That
they
guy,
have a suite?
Well, no, they don't have a suite. But, like, you know that guy Robert is it Hershkowitz or something like that? He's one of the guys on Shark Tank. He's one of the rich guys on Shark Tank. So he was on Dancing with the Stars, and there were rumors that he and his partner were more than just dance partners, and then they ended up getting married.
More success than The Bachelor.
It does have more success than The Bachelor.
Well, I have season one, Alex, Michelle, and Amanda Marsh. They broke up after a year of dating.
Oh, that's so surprising.
Another breakup on season two.
Season two broke up.
7 months after the finale aired, season three couple broke up.
Yeah.
So far,
row for three.
1 month after the finale, season number four, they broke up.
Yeah. 0 for four.
Season five broke up 1 month after the finale.
0 for five. So I know that your odds in real life of meeting the right person and remaining with them, right now it's like a 50-50 proposition, right? Isn't the divorce rate somewhere around half?
I think it's higher.
Is it higher than half? All right. So this show, like if you're sitting there and you give it a whole season and then 3 hours, I would want to guarantee that the people I wasted my whole year on are going to stay together. But there's no guarantees. They break up all the time.
I'm on season 10 right now. Everyone has broken up.
Yeah.
Epic fail on season 11. He couldn't even pick between two of the contestants. So he could have at least pretended to pick one, but he didn't.
He chose neither of them.
Yeah, that's bad.
Good for him.
It's so bizarre, too, watching like the contestant having to make out with all these guys one after another. It's,
Season or vice 13, versa.
Awful.
Yeah.
Season 13.
They're still together?
Still together. Jason infamously ended his engagement with Melissa on the After the Final Rose special, asking Molly out for coffee just a few minutes later. Awkward. So the one he got chosen, he went with someone else.
He did.
So wait.
And they got married in February 2010, still going.
Oh.
So they would have had like a C-suite night, right?
Yeah.
And then they go out for coffee?
Yeah.
Don't you go out for coffee first?
That's the way we used to do things.
Times have changed,
not anymore. Do you remember like one of the very first shows of this kind? So we're going back about almost 20 years now. Fox had a show on where there was a guy who was a millionaire, but somehow the girls didn't know that until the end. And it was called something like I Want to Marry a Millionaire or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
All right, so Fox was publicizing that show like crazy, but they would never show the guy or any of it. They would just say, what if a bunch of girls got to marry a guy and they didn't know he was a millionaire like that? So then the show is on, and I'm watching it, and I knew the guy that was the millionaire, but I also knew he was not a millionaire. He was an actor/comedian, a guy that I had done stand-up with a couple times.
What a ruse.
They got a bunch of feedback from people. Like, I didn't care enough to call anybody and say, hey, your millionaire's not really a millionaire. But a lot of other people did, going, that guy's not a millionaire. He's just an actor and a stand-up.
Evidently a good actor if he could portray a millionaire and get on the show.
Well, they kept showing him, like, they would show him he was always wearing a tuxedo, and they put him in this really big house that wasn't his house.
And Genghis, he just went and got a tuxedo.
He rented a tux. But all these women who kind of liked him, as soon as they found out he was a millionaire, they loved him.
You know, darn me, I married for love, not money. I did it the wrong way,
didn't I? Huge mistake.
Season 17, still together after getting engaged in November 2012 during filming. They just got married 2014.
How many seasons are there?
Well, I'm on season 17. This is Sean Lowe and Catherine Giudice. So two right now out of 17.
Two out of 17.
I'm going to go ahead and make a bold prediction. The Bachelorette winner this year and The Bachelorette will break up as well.
You think so, Kev? Within a year or after a year?
Within a year.
They're just not right? You can just tell they're not right for each other.
Do you
guys watch the show at your house because you want to watch it or your wife wants to watch it or both?
It's a Sarah thing.
Yeah.
She won't watch Game of Thrones for me, so something's got to give
that
here.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, that's not fair.
I know.
I think the success rate for marriages on Game of Thrones is higher than it is on The Bachelorette.
You're probably right.
There's another couple still together, so we're 3 out of
21
now.
Oh, 3 out of 21.
So, I mean, look at the odds on that.
Not good. That's not the right way to meet a person that you're going to marry. It just isn't.
And season one, Trista Wren. And Ryan Sutter, they're still together.
Oh.
They got married in 2003, and they have two children.
So sometimes it works.
Sorry, Karen. I stole your thunder, didn't I?
That's okay. It's okay. That's fine with me.
Have you been watching? Well, hang on. Have you been watching since the very beginning?
I watched at the beginning, then I stopped watching because I couldn't stand it anymore.
What was the switch?
I couldn't stand everything, all the fake, the nonsense and the drama. And
yeah.
In the beginning, it seemed to be more realistic, and then they had to start throwing in all the stupid drama of this girl hating that girl and this guy doing, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
like
yeah,
Real Housewives type stuff.
What?
It's like Real Housewives type stuff, right, where they throw conflict at them so they don't like each other, right?
Yeah, I can't stand Real Housewives either. Yeah, so, yeah. I said I'd rather watch Game of Thrones. So
it's better. Dragons are
funnier. Thank you, Karen. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Sure enough. Bye-bye.
See, sorry. I watch it for that exact reason, though. Once it starts getting sappy, like love story stuff, I lose interest. But I love the, you know, the drunk idiots.
The confrontation.
Yeah, it's the best.
I'm telling you, watch Big Brother. You're going to get the confrontation.
I'm above that, Wendy.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then there's more stuff to talk about. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to call us or text us. It's Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder here on WGN. I need to ask you a question that I already know the answer to.
Actually, you're a trickster.
You know, I'm not allowed to gamble anymore, but if I was going to gamble, I would gamble everything I owned on this answer because I know it so well. Do you have a lot of anxiety in your life?
What's your answer?
I would guess yes.
My anxieties have anxiety.
I know. I have some good news for you.
All right, talk to me.
Neuroscientists, Wendy. These are neuroscientists.
Neuro?
Yeah. These are the scientists that other scientists look at and say, those guys are neuroscientists. They have discovered a song that will reduce your anxiety and everybody's anxiety by as much as 65%.
That's huge.
Macarena?
It's not the Macarena, Steve. No. That's in the top 10.
They had a song out before, but it wasn't a popular song. It was just kind of like...
This one's not popular either. I've heard of the artist, but I've never heard of the song, and we'll play you a little clip from the song. I'll explain who did this and why they did this, and then we'll play the song. But I need to prepare everybody...
If you're at the wheel?
Yeah, you'll get so calm, you may doze off because the song reduces anxiety at such a rapid rate.
You'll only hold up half a finger while you're listening to this and driving.
You'll hold up an IOU for a finger. You'll say, I'm so relaxed right now, I'm not going to flip you off, but come back on Thursday.
I'm pretty anxious today, so let's see if this works.
Today's a perfect day. It says millions of Americans suffer from anxiety disorder, and then they list them, and you're up, you're way toward the top, Wendy. Many people even suffer from chronic anxiety disorder. That would be bad. With anxiety, it can feel impossible to find anything that helps. Although you do not always realize it, there are some ordinary and strange things that may alleviate your symptoms.
A vodka tonic?
Well, it doesn't say that, but yeah, for many people.
A big fatty? Not for me. I don't smoke.
Why body shame when we're in the middle of a story? What do you get out of that? There's no reason to body shame. According to neuroscientists, this one song can reduce your anxiety, Wendy, by up to 65%.
That's a huge improvement.
That is a huge improvement.
I'm anxious thinking about this song and whether or not it's going to work.
All right, let's listen together. Be prepared to be very relaxed when you hear this. This is a song called Weightless, and the band is called Marconi Union, and this is their song Weightless.
I think my heart stopped.
That fast?
No, it's making me anxious, wondering what's happening next.
That was exactly my feeling. Is I want, and I listen to the whole song. It's like 6 minutes long. What you heard right there is what you get. It's all very ethereal, and there's a video that accompanies it that is maddening because it's a very
plots and moving things like that, like Spirograph.
It's a tranquil beach, a very tranquil beach, as you would expect, and then there's three drones that have lights on them. And they just keep moving like in the same pattern. And then
like
that,
that
song
either.
Accompanies it.
Bill, I'm assuming you only listened to part one. There's like six parts.
Oh, there's more to it.
That are
than
all
that?
About 8 to 10 minutes long, yeah.
Let's hear a different part and see if it's any different. My bet it sounds exactly the same.
This is part three. Let's take a
all
listen.
Right. Yeah, this is way better. I'm much more relaxed now. The first part made me anxious, but this part has soothed me.
This is making me panic that I feel like I'm encased in a giant aquarium and I'm losing breath.
Yeah. It's smothering, isn't it?
It is smothering. It's not
polite.
Working.
Yeah.
Too polite.
Yeah. I want my music to put me through a roller coaster of emotions, and that just doesn't. Now, yeah. Can I play the song that came in second? I think you'll be more familiar. The first song is Marconi Union's Weightless. Here's the second song that they say reduces stress, not 65%, but this reduces it 62%. Listen
That's
to this.
That's huge.
That's still good. Yeah, that works more.
I love it.
That's much better.
I got to be 100% honest with you. It's not working at all because I'm just imagining the little guy running around.
Jackie Paper getting slapped in the back of the head.
And then big-breasted women bouncing around.
I know. It's working perfectly.
No, my heartbeat actually went up a lot.
That's not supposed to do that. It's counterproductive. All right, let's take a quick break. I hope we didn't soothe anybody to death. I hope that nobody is sleeping now.
If we did, we woke them back up.
Yeah.
Cause of death? Soothe.
Oversoothe. All right, more show.
Soothsayer.
Right. We'll do a quick break. We'll do some news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Bridget Carey from CNET will join us in about 10 minutes or so. But first, this. I can imagine that owning a restaurant would be a very difficult proposition, wouldn't you think?
I've always wanted to have a restaurant. I really have. And then when you talk to people who have them, it's 24/7.
There's never downtime.
Constantly working.
Yep, that's so true. And then there's competition. You're always afraid, you know, am I doing as well as my competition? And what can I do to stimulate business? Is there a way that I could figure out to get more customers through the door? Well, a restaurant in China, a place called Trendy Shrimp, is offering what I consider to be one of the strangest discounts in the history of restaurants. Their deal is the larger your breasts, the bigger the discount you'll receive.
Wow, I'd be out of luck. and that's sexist because men don't usually have big breasts.
Well, some do. That's even Kevin said to me before the show, what if you brought in a guy who, you know, had that? Would you get a discount? But the answer is no.
What, do they whip out the tape measure when you
Actually,
walk in?
Actually, they do. Yes, they do. The larger your breasts, the bigger the discount. That is the controversial promotion that a restaurant in Zhejiang, in the Zhejiang province of China, is offering this month. The eatery, which is called Trendy Shrimp, prompted furor for its provocative price cuts, which incensed locals who called these discriminatory and vulgar.
It is both.
It is both discriminatory and vulgar.
I would stuff my bra.
Yeah, to get some stuffed shrimp. That seems fair. Trendy Shrimp, which is located in a mall in the city of Hangzhou, advertised the unusual discount with a poster that was placed outside the restaurant July the 1st. The whole city is looking for breasts, read the placard. Which features they don't here's what I like about the Chinese culture. They don't mince words.
No, right out in the open.
They figured out a formula for success and they know what it is. The whole city is looking for breasts, by the way, in all caps, which features an accompanying image of a series of animated female characters with various breast sizes and a table showing how much of a price cut a woman would get based upon her bra size.
Do they give the discounts?
They do. So if you go in, if you're in the market for some tasty Chinese food at Trendy Shrimp, if you are a woman with an A cup, you would receive a 5% discount.
All right, keep going.
But it then goes up the scale to a woman. They cut it off at G. G cup is the highest discount you can receive there, and you would get a 65% discount if you had a G cup.
What's a C?
10, 15, 20, it looks like 30%.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not a bad deal. In China, discounts are expressed differently, it says, than in the United States. The lower the number, the better the deal.
What?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Oh, you know what? They already applied that to their math already.
Okay.
All right. The poster was removed within a few days following a public backlash, or frontlash in this case. Len Shengang, the restaurant's general manager, said.
Good old Len.
Right. You knew at some point his name would be mentioned in this story. He's notorious for this sort of behavior. Some, however, defended the offer. Who would do that? Bob Guccione of Penthouse Magazine? Is he still around?
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton, right. Sofia Vergara?
Yeah.
Some defended the offer, insisting that customers had responded positively to it. Can I guess which customers? Horny guys?
Yeah.
Once the promotion started, customer numbers rose by 20%.
That's not all that
rose.
Oh, come
on.
You looked at me.
Kevin,
come on.
Where's my gong? I demand a gong be brought in. Some of the girls we met were very proud. They had nothing to hide, the general manager said.
Do you have to take your shirt off?
No.
Are you sure? Because
I don't
what
think
if
so.
Women do stuff?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I always imagine that the women in these scenarios are fine, upstanding citizens. I'm not as I don't like automatically assign corruption to these stories.
This is really wrong, though, because they're giving away a discount for shrimp, yet they're looking for something big.
Right.
It should be lobster or something.
Right.
Should be the tiniest people get a discount.
They are the ones who should get a discount. Now, let's say this were to happen here in the United States, in the U.S. of A., Wendy. Let's say that this were to happen here. This wouldn't last weeks. Like in this one, they put up the poster a couple of weeks ago, and now people are getting mad. This would be the
hours.
Kind of thing within an hour or two, somebody would close this down, right?
I wonder if Julie thinks this is a good idea or a bad idea. Hi, Julie.
Well, how much is the airfare to this place? Because I think I'd eat for free.
Whoa. Ow.
We can't calculate the airfare. If only we had somebody working on the show who had an air travel sort of business, that would be great. We'll figure out the price for you.
That's Steve Bertrand Travels Next Trip.
Yeah.
Breasty women only.
Right.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks,
have a good
Julie.
One.
Take care.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah.
That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. I would expect the Chinese restaurants to be above doing something like this. I'd expect this in, like, Arkansas.
I don't know if everything is governed the same in the eastern part of the world. You know, like, here in the United States, somebody would say, oh, that's in poor taste. You can't do something like that. But the sense of humor and the sense of value and the sense of everything is just a little different
right.
than it is here. You know, their TV is different. Everything's different. The culture is just different.
That's very different.
All right. Again, if you do want to go, it's Trendy Shrimp in the Zhejiang province of China. Bertrand Travel guarantees a trip by the year's end.
What's their tagline for the city that they said we are looking for breasts or whatever?
It says, where is it? The whole city is looking for breasts, and breasts is in all caps. The whole city.
The whole city, I doubt it.
Good luck, fellas. All right, we'll take a quick break. Bridget Carey will join us from CNET in just a little bit. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday. On the line with us, Bridget Carey from CNET. You can find her at CNET.com. Bridget, I heard something in the news about a Google employee who wrote a little diatribe, and Google was not supportive of it. Why don't you give us a little background on this story?
Yeah, it's got a lot of people worked up online, as most things, you know, in the tech community get people worked up anyways. But this is something where an employee at Google started, you know, spreading around this long memo about gender inequality, arguing that biology prevents women from being successful as men in the tech industry, not necessarily people just being biased against women. And it went on and on and on. And essentially, Google executives were aghast and said that this really perpetuates gender stereotypes, you know, saying that women can't do something because of men, or suggest that colleagues have traits that make them less biologically suited for certain type of work. They find, you know, they said in a statement, the CEO said that that's offensive, not okay. And after this being on the internet and talked about in the news for over a day, they announced that they fired the guy who wrote it. And the guy who wrote it has said that he feels like he was fired illegally, and he may be pursuing something, some sort of action. But, of course, that's all that heat-of-the-moment reaction, so who knows what will happen.
So, Bridget, just so I understand, he was, he no longer is, but he was an employee of Google's at the time?
Yes. And it was like a 10-page memo, and it went viral after it was posted to like this internal network in Google.
Yeah.
And then other Google employees kind of leaked it out, and that's when the press started writing about it.
Well, first of all, of course he got fired because it's not representing their views necessarily. And two, what legal leg does he have to stand on? He was not representing the company in the company way.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think what I've read, it's he's exploring legal action because, you know, like kind of saying Google misrepresented him and shamed him in order to silence him. You know, I have a legal right to express my concerns, he writes, about my working environment. And, you know, he felt that he had a right to discuss. I think people kind of confuse sometimes their First Amendment rights with representing their employer, and this is that murky ground.
Bridget, we did a story a couple of weeks ago about a guy who worked at a fast food place, a popular fast food place, and he took pictures of behind the scenes of what it looked like behind in the kitchen and everything like that. And in a way, this is kind of connected, but in another way, it's different enough. You know, I guess it's just...
Yeah. He's not whistleblowing. He just has this rant. It's
right.
Not even saying that I think people make these choices. He's saying we need to stop calling things to be sexist, and we need to just admit that women are, you know, different for the things that, you know, that make them women, and we stop have to say that, oh, you know, but really, diversity is so much deeper than that.
Sure.
You know, like you can go on with different arguments about why it's good to have a diverse group of people to work around because it brings different views. You know?
Right.
So whether or not you believe one thing or another, it definitely was a 10-page memo. This guy was going on and on about all the ways that he believed. You know, it when you read it, like, and I was glancing at some of it, it's just a mess.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate. Here's another big story from the tech world, and that's the hacking of HBO. What do you know about this?
Okay, well, you know, we always hear about entertainment companies getting hacked, like Sony back in the day with their emails, and these group of hackers are claiming that they have a lot of information, perhaps emails as well, and copies of, you know, not yet released shows, including Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
They released, or at least online, I haven't watched it to see it myself, but everyone says that there was a Sunday night's episode was on like a Friday or Saturday, and they're threatening, you know, hey, we're going to keep leaking more stuff unless you pay a ransom.
Millions, right?
Yeah, and you know, the HBO kind of made a statement saying that they're still looking into this. They're working with cybersecurity firms. They don't believe. I mean, they're still reviewing things, but they don't believe the email system has been compromised, unlike Sony in 2014.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to pay anything. I mean, but it really shows you that this is a big deal for HBO. They make a lot of money off the secrets of what's going to come in the next Game of Thrones episode. And it would make any, you know, entertainment giant nervous. Like, they also are saying that they have upcoming shows like Room 104, Insecure. Guess what? No one cares about them like they care about Game of
right.
Thrones. It's all about Game of Thrones. You know, I don't care about whatever show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, pilot episode. No, no, it's Game of Thrones. That's when they spend all their money. That's what matters here. But to kind of succumb to their demands wouldn't be something that you would see a company do.
But, Bridget, with HBO, they don't make their money in the old way of advertisers. They make their money through subscribers. Is there any fear that enough people would stop subscribing to HBO and would go the way of the hacker route instead of subscribing?
That's okay. If these hackers prove they have every episode, sure, I'm going to cancel my subscription, save some money, right?
Yeah.
That's what people could do. I don't know if their threats, though, are just empty threats or if they have more Game of Thrones or not. So it's too early to say that it'll like really impact them, but if this happens enough times with enough shows, this, you know, it shows you how much HBO, Showtime, and others have to really invest in their security, because that is their bread and butter. If you think you could just leak it online early, well, why bother paying for HBO?
Wendy tried to sell me a season of Two Broke Girls, and I wouldn't fall for that.
How is that show? Is that still on?
I don't
on?
Think it's on anymore.
It's
no.
an on and reruns everywhere. Yeah.
I know. Man. I think that's it.
All right. I'm kind of surprised it took this long for this to happen, quite honestly.
Well, I mean, yeah, they are a target, right? You know, like any movie is a target. I remember there was a threat before that Bob Iger at Disney was like, oh, someone hacked the latest Pirates of the Caribbean that ended up being
right.
false. You know, so I think hackers are looking for all sorts of ways for ransom, and they're really putting these companies to the test and making them, you know, take their security even more seriously. Now, if only every place that, you know, we as consumers partake in took it seriously, because for so long, I mean, it was one store after another was hacked with credit card information, and we all just kind of went, oh, well. Well, now when it comes to people's emails and companies and shows, they certainly are going to invest more, I think.
But the percentage of hackers being caught is very, very high, isn't it?
High?
Yeah. Hi, Wendy. But it is,
really?
Right? Yeah. They usually catch the hackers in situations like this, don't they, Bridget?
You don't really hear a lot about it.
No?
It's one of those things that it takes a while. They'll catch a friend, but not the whole team. You know, someone will, you know, ask for, you know, a deal bargain for
yeah.
you know, revealing something else. So a lot of people in the hacker community are out there working both sides because of those things. So, yes, nothing's really secret.
Yeah.
Also, everything's hackable. And you know, in short, it's messy. I don't think there is a good answer for your question.
Oh, all right.
Bridget, I don't know if this is up on CNET, and this is my fault because I haven't searched it, but if not, could you get someone on this story? I am looking for a way to cut our cable bill. I say cable because I don't know what else to call it. It's like over $300 a month. We don't watch very much. Speaking of HBO, those are things you can get elsewhere. There are these Amazon Fire Sticks. There's Roku. There's Sling TV. It seems to me somebody should do the work and find a way to save money on, like, so you can drop cable or just do the basic and then add these other things. Has that been talked about over there?
Okay. On CNET, you can find a big chart of all the different services. And the like, if you want to cut the cable, here's a chart on like all the options and what they do have and don't have, so you can kind of compare what's worth spending your money on. There are these over the internet TV subscription services. Sling has one from Dish, and actually Sony has its own. They call it PlayStation View, but you don't need a PlayStation for it. And essentially, it's about $30 or so, maybe $40 a month. And you're getting cable and basic television. You just have to have a Roku or a stick in your house. And we have a chart that says, okay, what device do you need, and how much does it cost, and what channels are you getting? I found that I liked the PlayStation View service the best because it has the most cable and broadcast. When I say cable, I mean you get like every cable news network, which, you know, I feel like nowadays it's really good to have.
Yeah.
and that said, it was only like about $40 a month, you know, so and it worked on the Roku. I find Roku has most of the services. Amazon doesn't have everything, you know, and Google's version doesn't always have everything, but the Roku does. So you can break it down, see what channels are important to you, see if sports are important, what is offered there too, and kind of do the math, and then pay for HBO for $15 extra because you still want to watch your Game of Thrones.
And you get your local network affiliates, Bridget? You get your ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox? You get those locally?
I feel that it works the best in big areas like Chicago,
yeah.
New York, Miami, and not every area is going to always get, you know, what they want out of it. You can actually plug in where you live, and it'll say, oh, it has a local CBS, but not the local ABC, maybe. You know, it'll tell you exactly what is available.
And that's on CNET.com because I am sick of paying. You know, I watch most of the stuff.
$300 a month is a lot.
I know. I know that includes our home line, which I gotta cut the tether.
Yeah.
One of these days.
I think I think people pay a lot because they still want the ability to go back, rewind, download shows. And that's the cool thing about the PlayStation View program is that you can download some stuff and have it in the cloud instead of on a physical hard drive in your home. But, you know, people are looking for different options because we're not all watching everything live.
I don't watch anything live, really, except, you know, sporting events, it seems. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times our DVR is pretty much filled up. So you can go to the specific net, like Preacher, for instance. I just went to AMC and watched it there.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't need to download it and have it on a DVR. The world is changing and the prices are too high. That's all I'm telling you. Where is
Fix
this
it,
comparison
Bridget.
Sheet? It's CNET.com, but what do we look under?
Well, I cheat and I just do a Google search. And so because there's too much on CNET sometimes to always find everything exactly. But if you search for streaming services compared or comparison, you'll find it. I'm doing it right now as I speak to you to make sure it comes up.
We'll figure it out. It can't be that hard. Yeah, Bridget, thanks so much.
Yeah, it's all there. You know, Hulu versus YouTube versus Sling versus DirecTV versus you can find it all.
Wow. It's right there, written July 7th. I'm going to read it now.
Yep. It's easy. Bridget, thank you very much. Hope you have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, you too.
That's
Bridget
Carey. CNET is your one-stop shopping headquarters for all things internet-based and tech-based Sling-based and face-based. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder-Bertrand. Great job, as always.
Great job.
On the Wintrust Business Lunch at 12 noon, and we go to the stream at 12 noon.
Unbridled radio, the way it used to be, Wendy, when Marconi invented it. No limits.
I have to tell you something that I'm really embarrassed. I probably shouldn't admit this on the air.
Oh, go ahead. It's not like we'd make fun of you.
You would. But I just feel like being honest.
All right.
The good people at Patch.com put together this little thing. Actually, Hater.com, they put together this little survey of individual states and what they hate.
Every state hates something different.
Yes. And ours, I don't know that I agree with, but I'll save ours
for last.
Is it
a winning football team? That would be my guess for what Illinois hates the most. An NFL team that wins. We don't want any part of that.
You're mean. All right. Well, they list it state by state, but they do it in the form of a map.
Uh-huh. And?
I don't trust myself to recognize every state. Isn't that embarrassing?
Oh, well, just...
No, I printed up a map with all the names of the states.
Oh, well, you're fine. You're golden.
But I didn't have to admit this, but I just wanted to say, looking at the United States of America on the map, I don't know if I could identify all 50...
How many could you get out of 50,
I don't know.
Do you think?
Now you're, you know, I thought you weren't going to make fun of me.
I won't. I'm just curious.
I can identify Illinois.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, everyone
Indiana,
can do...
Florida,
everyone
Texas.
Everyone can do Texas and Florida and California.
Idaho, I know the shape of.
Right. Maine probably is an easy one. Michigan. Those are all easy. But some of the states that are just, some of them are just boxes. They're just like rectangles. And you go, mm.
I get confused between the Utah and Colorado and Wyoming area.
Mm-hmm.
Nevada, I would know too.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible of me.
You know where it gets tough for me, and I go to New England all the time, but some of those states,
they're too little.
Yeah, they're too small. Sorry, Connecticut, you're too small. Rhode Island, you know who I'm pointing at.
Yes or no, Kev? Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's all right.
He was making fun of me. I said yes or no.
That's all right.
Haters.com put together this thing of what people hate state by state, and I would like to share them with you.
I'm anxious to hear.
All right. Like, for instance, that's Washington State.
Washington State. What do they hate?
Check my little graph.
That's way up in the upper left-hand corner of the United States.
They don't like Keurig K-cups.
They don't like those little coffee cups, those disposable coffee cups?
Maybe for recycling purposes. I don't know.
Is that the number one thing that they hate in Washington State?
Yeah, here, let me
read
it.
That's an easy existence if that's the thing that's bugging you the most.
It's a new app called Hater, and based on user data, Hater has released a map showing the biggest pet peeves among singles in each state.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so
that changes it a little bit. All right, knowing sorry. It's singles. No, that's all right.
Montana going to the gym. They don't like to work out there. And this is singles. I would expect that to be
that
popular.
That should be a good thing, yeah.
In Idaho, they absolutely
bad
hate
potatoes.
Asking for directions.
I don't think anyone likes it, but I'm shocked that it'd be their number one thing that they hate.
Utah hates porn.
Yeah, that one I can see.
That's the only one I see.
That one makes sense.
Kansas hates Seinfeld. What?
I gotta be honest with you. I can almost kind of see that.
Why? They don't get it?
I'm not saying they don't get it.
Too big city Jerry for them?
It's much more that. Yeah. When Seinfeld was on and it was the number one comedy, and it wasn't at first, it took a while for it to be the number one show on television, I was always shocked by that because I'd say to myself, I bet there's places where the big city humor is
lost on
some parts of the country. But it still worked somehow.
All right, Texas hates sleeping with the windows open. We love that here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there, you know, a scorpion will climb in and sting you.
True. Minnesota, they hate drinking alone. I'm cool with that.
It's not that they won't do it. They're just
that's
not
their pet
fond
peeve.
Of it.
Right.
All right.
Iowa hates long hair on guys.
Oh.
Is it very prim and proper there?
I've been to Iowa. I've seen plenty of guys with long haircuts, but the Iowans shun them. They won't talk to them.
Wisconsin
hates people who are lactose intolerant.
I would agree with you.
I don't even
know what this is.
What?
Trap music?
Yeah, I don't know
Kevin,
what that is either.
What is that?
Trap music.
Trap music, I would say it's a form of hip-hop, kind of, or
so
rap.
So like rap?
Yeah, it's real, like, clubby.
Is it T-rap? Am I saying it wrong? T-rap
No, trap
music?
Trap
That's
music.
A dinosaur.
You got it.
I've never heard of that in my life.
So trap music is a combination of what and rap, Kevin? Do you know?
Funk?
Tap and rap?
Oh, what's the T for?
Yeah. I'm not sure what the T stands for. Yeah, that's I don't know.
They hate tap dancing.
But like 2 Chainz, for example.
Yeah.
Your 2 Chainz, you know, that's
he's a rapper.
Or Migos. I'm not sure how you say it, but yeah.
I'm more confused now. All right, well, they don't like that in Michigan.
Do they like Pitbull?
It doesn't say.
Doesn't say? I bet they don't like
Indiana
Pitbull.
Does not like bloggers. I don't know why.
I'm kind of with them.
There are too many.
There's too many.
Ohio doesn't like tying a tie. Do they not dress up there?
I don't know how to tie a tie, so if I ever have
you
to
really
leave here,
don't?
Nope. I have 4 pre-tied ties.
I got to be honest with you. There have been a lot of times that the boys will have to wear a tie, like picture day or some special occasion.
Yeah, sure.
And if Jim's not there.
What do?
I tie their
you
ties.
Tie it.
And all I did was look on YouTube.
A couple of years ago, my next door neighbor, also named Bill, because I live, there's a part of Evanston that's the
Bill
district.
Zone.
Yeah, only guys named Bill can move in. About 5 or 6 years ago, I went to his place and had him tie 4 of them for me, and they're pre-tied, and they're on a hanger if I ever need one. I just can't do it.
It's really hard. I can do it, but it doesn't look as good as when Jim does it.
Yeah, some his people knot know how to do it.
Mine looks kind of like fizzly. It's just like a little tiny knot. I mean, it works, and it's gotten by, but if he's not there, the kids don't. I mean, how often do they wear ties? And now I don't feel bad that you, as an adult, don't know
how
to either.
I have no idea how to do it.
All right, do you want to know Illinois? Because I just...
Are you befuddled by the answer? Do you think it
should be... Let me give you Missouri. They hate people who believe in aliens.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one pet peeve of the single people of Missouri. Married people accept it, but the single people are not happy if you're...
Right.
Okay. All right.
Nebraska, the singles in there hate more than anything friendly reminder emails. Just like remember there's a meeting today. I find them
Why?
To be very
They're
helpful.
They're very helpful. Take a break before you give out Illinois. Because we're running a little late, but I'm anxious to hear it, but don't do it yet.
All right, I have a couple more then I'll read, and I'll save the best for last.
All right.
I can't wait to
hear what the people of Illinois are not.
You will be disappointed.
Is that right?
I think so.
All right, we'll find out what that is. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN. 4 a.m., I'm just getting started. For my birthday, I threw me a surprise party.
Reminiscing about the trap playing the first quarter. My life changed when I had my... I like that.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
That's trap music.
Trap music is based on the use of the 808 Roland drum machine, pitched and resampled hip-hop rap vocals, pipe flutes, gangsta synth leads, and various effects.
Could you do that in Middlebrook's voice?
Yeah.
Would you like to know about trap music?
Yes. Talk about trap music.
Shut your mouth.
I'm talking about trap music.
Trap music is based on the use of the 808 Roland drum machine, pitched and resampled hip-hop rap vocals
by the dawn's early light,
pipe flutes, gangsta.
No R.
I didn't say an R.
G-A-N-G.
Gangsta synth leads and various FX. Yeah. They just put FX.
Yeah.
That stands for...
FX.
I don't have it today. I'm sorry.
It's working.
So in layman's term, it's one-third hip-hop.
Yeah.
One-third dubstep.
And one-third...
dub.
Yep. That's the right formula.
What's the difference between dubstep and dub?
Yeah, I always thought...
I'm embarrassed that you'd even ask that, Wendy. Come on.
I thought dubstep was a version of techno, and then dub was a version of reggae. I always thought.
Oh, yeah, probably a little.
Yeah.
But
there's a little bit of a skanking beat in there, I guess. Who was that artist you played that was trap music?
That was 2 Chainz, and if you're so inclined, you can see them at the Chicago Theater on August 26th.
2 Chainz, Wendy. No waiting.
Well, in Michigan, they do not like trap music at all.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and an app called Hater put together a list of, based on user data, Hater has released a map showing the biggest pet peeves among singles in each state.
Why did they single out singles? Why couldn't this be the people of a state?
Because singles have more time to answer surveys.
Oh, I bet that's true. I bet that's
people actually, who are married and have families are busy.
Don't bother me. I have kids to watch.
In New Mexico, they don't like polo shirts.
Why?
It doesn't seem like it would be. Isn't New Mexico where Breaking Bad was?
It
doesn't
yeah.
seem like a very polo-esque type of place.
But a polo shirt is like, it's the most, like...
You wear one every day.
I do wear one nearly every day, but it's just a very basic shirt. You can't like it or not like it. It's just a shirt, right?
Yeah, but it's maybe too dressy for them because it has a collar.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe they just want the T-shirt. Colorado, they don't like NSYNC.
The band NSYNC?
Yes.
That's the number one thing disturbing people in Colorado?
Wyoming, the thing that bugs them the most, singles, gluten-free.
All right, I almost get that one because it went from being something nobody ever heard of a generation ago to now it's a major issue.
And I hear that you need a little gluten, and very few people have the celiac disease or gluten intolerance.
I hate to blow the surprise, but I am currently in talks to open up a bakery with extra gluten.
Have you come up with a name yet?
Sure as shooting, we got gluten. You know who my partner is? My business partner, Bert Hooten.
Someone sent us a message on Facebook if we want to go meet Bert Hooten because he coaches some team
Houston
somewhere.
Houston Astros, I think.
No.
Isn't he the pitching coach for the Astros? He used to be a Cub. He was a Cub for a number of years.
He does something with some smaller league, and they said that we could go meet him if we wanted.
I would love to meet Bert Hooten.
And what's the name of the...
Sure as shooting, we got gluten.
With
extra gluten. Yeah, Bert Hooten's my business partner. You're darn tootin'.
Did you read a Dr. Seuss book this morning?
Yeah, I do every day before the show.
All right, what else do I have? They don't like tapas in North Dakota.
Come on.
Who doesn't like that?
They're delicious. Not too much, not too little, just the right amount. They're making a huge mistake.
I can't read some of these because they're blurry.
Can you check my home state of Kentucky?
What do they not like in Kentucky? What is your guess, Kim, while Wendy's looking? What do you think the good people of Kentucky, it's their pet peeve?
Shoes, good teeth. No,
shoes and good teeth.
Okay, but this is like what singles hate, like their pet peeve. Singles in Kentucky hate friends that ask you to help them move. I think that could be in every state.
I would say that's everywhere. Yeah. Smart people in Kentucky. Darn it, I knew it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, our Illinois one is
said disappointing.
It is disappointing. Disappointed. Ted, you want to guess what it is?
I'll take a shot at it. It's the great unsolved caper of the tie and tire in the Bill Zone.
The what?
The what?
The what?
So all the ties that somebody's been breaking into homes and untying all the ties you have all tied up ready to go.
Oh, through. Right. Oh. That makes sense. Is that
not
what it is?
Not really, but it's funny. You just wanted to make fun of Bill and be funny, and Ted, you succeeded.
Why not?
Do you know how to tie a tie?
I do.
Wendy, everyone does but me. And I have a diagram. There was something in the paper years ago that my wife clipped out for me that shows you step by step how to do it. And I've tried to follow it step by step, and it's ridiculous how different it comes out.
And you know the problem, and Ted, I don't know, I watched YouTube to learn how to do it, because you can learn anything on YouTube.
Sure.
But the problem is you're looking at the guy straight on. I mm-hmm. need to be standing behind him. So mm-hmm. he needs to put the camera like a GoPro on the back of his head so I can see him do it.
That's better. Yeah. Ted, thank you.
It almost sounds like you need to do it like blindfolded so you know what you're doing.
Right.
A blank page on YouTube. You just go ahead and guess.
Right. Well, thank you, Ted. Have a good day.
You too, guys.
Bye.
All right. I can't tell what this little state is, so I just know.
Is it one of the New England states?
Yeah. Damn it.
Is it Rhode Island?
No, I think it's New Jersey. I think it's New Jersey. They don't like Casey Affleck.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the number one thing in New Jersey.
That's jellyfish. They don't like jellyfish in New Jersey.
No one likes jellyfish. Jellyfish don't like jellyfish.
Yeah. Okay, in Virginia.
No, I need to know what state their number one pet peeve is Casey Affleck, because that's the funniest thing in the world. That a whole state would go, yeah, I don't care for Casey Affleck. That's hysterical to
me. It's either Maryland or Delaware.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me.
But it's not New Hampshire, because he helped put them on the map. His last movie.
It is Delaware. It is Delaware for sure, 100%.
They just don't like Casey Affleck there. That's beautiful.
And then in Maryland, they hate, these are singles, they hate the idea that everyone has a soulmate.
All right.
I don't really believe in that either. I'm sorry. I think we all have people that we will click with and people that we don't.
Right.
I don't think there's just one
given person on the planet for you. All right. What if that person is Casey Affleck? Because I think he is for me.
In Pennsylvania, this is bizarre, people who use money clips. They hate people who use money clips. And money clips are very popular now because you don't want like this big-ass wallet in your back pocket. So mm-hmm. if you have a wallet that can fit your credit cards and then there's a money clip on it, mm-hmm. so it can fit in your front pocket and then you don't have the big bulge in your back.
I guess so.
But they hate that. And
can't you just put your money in your pocket without a money clip?
You could. But what
the money
is
clip
that?
Is just an extra, an add-on. I just keep my. I only get $20 a day, so it's not an issue for me. But if I got more, I would just keep it in my pocket. No money clip necessary.
In Massachusetts, they hate Eli Manning.
They do.
I don't know, Bill.
Really?
This is Hater. It's an app called Hater, but the Illinois one really bothers me.
You know who just breathed a sigh of relief when you said that? Casey Affleck. He's like. I know what it feels like.
Well, I know why they hate it. Is that real?
Yes.
It's
yeah.
because Eli beat them twice in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Patriots.
Oh, okay.
That
yeah,
one makes
why.
Sense. That one kind of makes sense. What is Illinois? I'm so interested here. But again, the disclaimer, this is disappointing, right?
It really is disappointing to me. Biting string cheese.
Really?
I always bite it. I know, like, when you were a kid and somebody gave you a string cheese, you would pull down each and every little piece.
Yeah.
And it's fun to play with when you're a little kid. But when you're just trying to grab some protein and you're driving or walking or whatever, don't you just take a bite of string
yeah.
cheese? Do you peel it?
No. That wouldn't make my top 10,000.
It wouldn't make my top anything.
No.
You'd think that would be Wisconsin.
Right. Right, because they take their dairy seriously.
Or maybe this is Illinois taking their, you know, taking their...
But this is a bad peeve. They hate people who bite string cheese. To me, I think that's the only way to eat it.
Yeah.
I know it's called string cheese, but it's to keep your kid occupied when you got a long car trip.
Right.
When you're an adult, no time for this.
Right.
Again, these are singles, so...
That's very disappointing.
I told you.
I know, you were right. All right, we'll take a break. We've got Kim with the news, and then again, a member of the WGN staff.
This is for sure.
This is definite. Did something death-defying, nothing short of death-defying.
Which I would never do, nor would you.
Oh, no. We'll find out what it is in a little bit. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN. The music of Van Heflin.
Van Halen. You're so hip. I'll tell you, if I could jump with Eddie Van Halen, I would do it.
Yeah?
Not Diamond Dave. But Amy Guth is a brave young woman.
Oh, yes.
What did you do?
Oh, my gosh. I just jumped from a little over 2.5, almost 3 miles above the earth. I jumped to the ground with the Army Golden Knights parachute team, and it was unbelievable. I've never done anything like that in my entire life, and it was, I had all the feelings, all the whole range of feelings, and it was really exhilarating and very, very cool.
Why did you do this, Amy? How come?
My question exactly.
You know what? This wasn't necessarily something on my bucket list per se, but they invited me to do this. And they said, would you be interested in doing a jump with us? I thought, well, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it with people that jump all day long and they're very good at it and, you know, do this for a living and with the Army. And so I thought, well, why not? And I'm very glad I did. I was with Sergeant First Class Noah Watts, and he was really wonderful. He kind of read me pretty well when that plane took off, and I thought, okay, I am committed. There's no backing out now. I got to do this. We just started talking about travel, and he kind of distracted me. And then, you jump out of the plane in order of heaviest to lightest. So I was the last to jump out.
And wait, can I just hang on 1 second? Were you hesitant at all? I mean, when it
absolutely.
It got to your turn, did you for 1 minute just go, not going to do this?
You know what? It was when we took off, I thought, okay, this is scary. And then when I was alerted, I was like, okay, we are very high up. Then I was told, you're only halfway. I thought, okay, I'm only halfway up, and I still have a ways to go. And it was already, quite a ways down there. So it was almost 3 miles in the air. So what Sergeant First Class Noah Watts did is he kind of tricked me a little bit. He just said, okay, we're just going to scoot up by the door here, and then we were out.
Oh, he is not to be trusted.
Well, that's the way to do it, because I bet you people change their mind when they're all the way up there.
Don't you think, not just change your mind, but don't you think that even if your brain says, yes, I can do this, your legs have a mind of their own and go, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to jump out of an airplane.
You know, your legs are not involved. You just kind of are just sort of hanging. You're the little spoon in the harness. So I'm in front of him, and he was like, "We're just going to scoot a little forward." And then he had asked me two or three times in the air, "Are you ready to skydive?" And I was like, "Ready as I'm going to get, dude."
Yeah.
And then suddenly we were out, and it's very loud in the aircraft. It's a little tiny Army plane, and so it's like jump seats, and you're tethered to it. And then when you're out of the aircraft, suddenly it's very quiet, even though it's the chaos of free fall. We only were in free fall about 50 seconds, apparently, but it felt like
that's all.
I don't even know. Yeah, it was fast.
Oh.
And then the parachute opens, and it's unbelievable. You can see, I mean, you're so high up, you can just see everything. It was so beautiful.
Are you normally afraid of heights, Amy?
Yes,
you
are. I'm
are you afraid of falling out of airplanes normally?
Yes, and I will say, when that aircraft door opened, I thought, oh my God, what am I thinking?
Yeah.
I am jumping out of a perfectly good airplane right now, but I knew I was in good hands with the Army Golden Knights. They checked and checked everything. They had so much, they were so buttoned up about it. I knew that I was in really good hands. And, it was kind of a little emotional at one point. My grandfather was at, he was at Normandy Beach in the Army. And so, he was kind of like, I can't believe I never imagined the day I would hear my granddaughter would be jumping out of a plane with the Army, but here we are, and I'm lucky that he's still with us, so that was very cool.
That's pretty amazing, Amy. Amy Guth on the line with us. She just jumped with the Army Golden Knights, and of course, to get ready for the 59th Annual Chicago Air and Water Show presented by Shell Oil Products. It soars into town this August 19th and 20th. It's one of these things that I've, it would be nice to have done it, although I don't want to do it. And I'm wondering if when you jump, you know how when you're riding a roller coaster, your stomach goes up through your throat? Did you get that at first?
No, not at all. I felt really nervous in the aircraft. And then,
but that sensation of, you didn't get that when you were free falling?
No, not at all. I didn't at all. Your brain even shuts off. I didn't have the sensation of falling at all. I was just kind of looking at everything around me and looking at the ground. It was kind of unbelievable. But your brain, I think, shorts out a little bit, and you don't really register fear. You just kind of, here you are. I had gotten the advice not to open my mouth because suddenly you will take in a lot of air. out of you. So I, you know, there was also a photographer in front of me with a helmet cam, and so I was trying to smile because I wanted the photos to be flattering for social media. I don't know how they look yet. We'll see.
Is there ever a time, Amy, where you can just honestly enjoy it for what it is?
Absolutely.
Or there is a time like
that? Is that when the shoot goes up where you're just kind of soaring?
Yeah, that was certainly relief, but I felt like, what I wanted from today, I got, and that was, once I'm out of the plane, I want to just say, this is out of my hands. I'm just going to enjoy this experience.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I was able to do. I just, once we were out, it was suddenly quiet, and I could hear Sergeant Watts was talking the whole time. I could hear him pretty well in my ear and saying, you know, look this way, and he was pointing at stuff, and so it was very beautiful, and I don't quite know the words yet to describe that free fall, other than I wasn't afraid of it. It really felt, it felt very cool. Once the chute was open, of course, then there's a bit of a relief because, you know, there's always the chance it won't open.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was very relieved once that chute was open, and he let me steer it a little bit. He kind of taught me how to drive the chute. So we kind of twirled around and saw things and looked around, and it was so beautiful.
They don't tell you you have to land on a specific, like, wherever you land, right? You don't have to steer it to an X on the sand somewhere or anything, do you?
We did. We landed on a very specific strip of land. There's a landing field. There's picnic tables out where people are watching and cheering each other on. And so we landed right on that. There's a little bit of yoga involved in the landing. You got to get your knees up so you don't, you know, pop your feet off.
Oh, right.
So I kind of had my knees up, but it was a very soft landing. We landed kind of sitting down. It was just like going down a slide. It was very easy, and I did not get a monster wedgie, so I'm good.
That's always good.
The thing that amazes me the most, and what I'm hearing you say and other people, is the quiet, because you're thinking you're plummeting to Earth. It's going to be like in cartoons where it's just this loud noise, but very peaceful and yet exhilarating, I would imagine.
Absolutely. It was so peaceful and beautiful. And then once that chute is open, there's a big, there's a sudden kind of jerk motion that suddenly, because you're leaving free fall and suddenly you're in, you know, caught by this parachute under the canopy of it. And so there is that kind of jolt, but then it is even more peaceful. But the whole time, even in free fall, it is very peaceful and quiet and beautiful. And of course, there's not a cloud in the sky today. It's a beautiful day to do this. So I recommend this for everybody, because I got to the ground and I was kind of sitting here reflecting on it a bit. And I don't think I'm much of a fearful person anyway, but whatever fear I have was certainly, I think I left it up there about 3 miles in the air.
Would they have canceled or postponed this if this was a windy day or if the temperatures weren't right? Do they cancel if something like that was going on?
You know, that was unclear. They checked the air several times. They opened the aircraft door, and one guy stuck his face out, his hand. He had a flag he let go of. So I think they checked that a few times. But I was talking to them on the way up. They do this a lot. It seems like they do this in a lot of different conditions and a lot of different weather. I think as long as it's not raining or too windy for the aircraft, it seems like they'll do it. But I'll have to confirm that for sure. It seems like that's at some point a personal choice of if you're willing to be up there in strong winds.
Yeah.
All right. My important question to you, Amy Guth, would you ever do it again?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. In fact, I can't wait to do it again.
Oh, wow. Did you expect that to be your answer? Did you think that would happen?
No.
No,
I thought this is going to be a cool thing to say that I've done and that I'm done with. And now I feel like I want to go up and take people I know with me and show them that this is a really wonderful experience.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever done anything like this in my life. This is definitely one of the coolest experiences of my entire life to have jumped from that high and seen that view. And again, the Army Golden Knights made it very doable. I felt, even though the training was very short, I felt very well prepared, and I felt like I was in very good hands to be up there.
Well, someone who may want to jump with you is a listener named Jean. Jean, what's your story?
Well, I was 77, and my grandson had jumped out, and I thought, oh, I want to do that. So I didn't tell anybody at all. I just went, drove to the airport, and I did it.
Wow.
And I must say, I was scared silly. So 3 weeks later, I went back and I did it again. And this time I knew what to expect and I wasn't scared and I loved it.
Wow.
Look at that.
That's so impressive. Yeah.
You know what this teaches us, awesome. Gene and Amy, that Bill and I are big babies.
Big babies.
Well, I'm afraid of heights, and it was scary. The worst part was when you sit on the floor of the plane, and you're strapped to the trainer behind you.
Yeah.
And then you sort of scoot on your butts to get over to the door, and you're sitting there on the edge. Well, that wasn't bad, but before that, I had looked over and I looked down, and that was scary.
If you're afraid of heights, this would be like I'm afraid of widths, so it doesn't really affect me. But I don't know how you say to yourself, "I'll be fine," because I mean that's just so high up. I can't believe.
Are you going to do it again, Gene?
I'm not saying I won't.
Wow!
It's like your style, Gene.
Well, thank you for calling, Jean. What did you say to her, Amy?
I said, I like her style.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, Jean.
Amy, this is an extremely responsible question, but I'm curious.
Then why are you asking it?
I don't know why I'm asking it, but I'm wondering, do you have to check with your insurance provider before you make a jump like this?
You know, it occurred to me last night after I posted a video that the guy who sold me life insurance is my Facebook friend.
Oh, yeah.
I might want to exclude him from those posts.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have to. You probably are supposed to. I might have neglected to do so, though.
Oh, all right.
I don't think so. I mean, if you know.
But when you sign up, like when I was negotiating life insurance, they asked me if I had any dangerous hobbies, and I was kidding, and I go, well, ping pong. And he writes that down. He wrote down ping pong. And I go, I'm kidding. It's not that dangerous.
Yeah. Well, can't joke with insurance people.
No.
We are proud of you. I'm glad you got this experience, and I'm sure we'll hear all about it. Loving your Saturday night special, Saturday 7 to 9 p.m., and also Saturday's the Wintrust Business Lunch with Amy Guth from noon to 1. Good job.
Thanks, guys.
Congrats.
And, you know, I turned both of your names into the Golden Knights, so they're going to call you
next. Oh, excellent.
I lost my phone.
Number. I'm changing my number. Thanks, Amy. Congratulations on still being here. All right.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Don't say that.
I would be so, I mean, first of all, I would still be in a state of shock. I would still, like.
Oh, you mean after you jumped?
Before, during, and after. I would be in pre-shock, during shock, and post-shock.
You would have to wear Depends.
I'm wearing them now just to talk to Amy. I'm wearing them. All right. We'll take a quick break. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. Congratulations to Amy Guth for.
She's crazy.
It just surprises me that she'd do it again. I went whitewater rafting once, and you know I'm not very much that adventuresome.
Right.
I went. It was pretty amazing. I will never do it again. It was scary. I'm glad I did it. I didn't really enjoy it, but I'm glad I did it. Jimmy Mack and I did the bike ride down the Haleakala crater in Maui.
Yeah.
And that was really scary because you're just flying down this volcanic mountain with no guardrails.
There's brakes on the bike, though, right?
That you ride the brake the whole way down.
Yeah, I bet.
The whole way down. They make you wear, you know, it's freezing and you're wearing this rain slicker and a helmet. And it's like, a lot of good that's going to do if I go off the edge.
Right.
I couldn't think about it because, I mean... Now I freak out about it because what if I hit a rock or something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't happen often, but I'm glad I did it and would never do it again. Yet she will continue
She's
to do this.
She's anxious to do it again. I went skydiving indoors a couple years ago, which is, it doesn't have the same danger factor.
No,
but
it sure doesn't.
Still,
you had training wheels on your parachute.
Yes, I did. I did zip lining in Costa Rica a couple years ago. I would do that again. But that, like, the whole time you're doing it, you've got that, what's wrong with me? I don't need to prove anything, and you're up there doing it, and it's very scary at the time.
Was it a big drop-off in a ravine below?
Huge. Like, there's regular zip lining, and then I can't remember if they called this extreme. It was, like, extreme zip lining.
I think it is.
Where you're up, like, twice the height that you normally are. And some of the runs were really long. It's a series of 9 or 10, I don't remember, runs. And then there was one where they say to you, now, this is one that not everybody does, so if you don't want to do it. And as they're saying that, I'm already taking my gear off, but I was the only one in the group that wasn't going to do it. So I'm like, now I have to do it.
You were pressured.
Can't be the only one who doesn't do it. And it is. It's one of those things that as you're doing it, you're going, what am I don't need to do this.
But you do it again.
yeah, I would do it again. I really would. And I think it's one of those things that I can't say everyone should do it, but it's just that exhilarating feel. You just go, oh, this is really, it's scary, but it's fun. But then you look down and you go, this is way too high. We should just set one up in the house and do it down the hallway.
See, then I'd do it like from the second floor to the first floor.
Yeah, that would be a good, that's a fine height.
Earlier we were talking about the app Hater that put together user data based on the biggest pet peeves among singles in each state. And I guess as we were talking, I said something about Virginia.
Yeah, you started to do
it. And I never said what it was, and someone texted, and I don't want to leave people hanging before we wrap up. The singles in Virginia, their biggest pet peeve is people who dab pizza grease with a napkin. I don't really like to see that either. It happens a lot. I know you're taking off some of the calories, but your pizza also tastes like a napkin after that.
Yes.
And if you're having pizza, it kind of...
You're going to get some grease.
Yeah. But I see that a lot, and it just...
This is another one, though, that fits that bracket of there's so many things in the world to be upset about.
I agree.
Why would this be the number one thing in a state? All right. Here's the plan. We will take a quick break. Then Wendy and I will head toward the stream. If you've not visited us on the stream, please do. I think you'll enjoy what you hear. You can go to our Facebook page, Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on Facebook, or WGNRadio.com. There's easy links to find us on the stream. We do an hour there. Or stay here and listen to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch. Either options. No, you say no.
Don't do that.
Go to the stream.
Join us. Come join us.
Yeah. We would love to have you there. Either way, I think you'll enjoy what you hear. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.